We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On this week's RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by No House Advantage, I talk with Jeff Feinberg, who is the our space's biggest Chargers fan. He's a big fan of Omaha Steaks. Big golf and sport and golf better and many other things. Talk about that more with along with our week 13 looks here on the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Jeff Feinberg. You can find Jeff Mayo Media Network does a great show with Pat Mayo and Tim Anderson. Great stuff this week. It's about 2.5 hours and it feels like 30 minutes on Yahoo. I'm about 30 minutes into it right now for this week's edition. It is fantastic. Go check it out on YouTube. Go check them out on Odds Checker as well. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Happy to join you here. I am doing very well.
Good, good. So let's start Chargers right away. I know you're a huge Chargers guy. It's nice when we have like traditional franchises that aren't always amazing on good runs with elite quarterbacks. You know, I'm a Bengals guy. You're a Chargers guy. We're very happy with our quarterbacks right now. And that's unique in the NFL. There's not too many franchises that say, hey, we know we've got our franchise quarterback.
The Chargers, I guess we've been very blessed in some ways. Yeah. With the floor. You know, for the most part, that, you know, quarterback luck has been on the Chargers' side, despite maybe having no other luck whatsoever at all over the course of my fandom, Jeff. But yeah, it is beautiful that 2020 class, it just seems like it could be one for the ages. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Hurts is a part of it. Yeah, I guess that means Jordan Love, show us what you got, buddy, because all your classmates have been truly outstanding. And despite, I guess, everybody wanting to keep like quarterback rivalries alive forever, it is possible all of them are just going to be outstanding.
Yeah. And, you know, almost all of them in the AFC, it's crazy. I feel bad for teams that don't have their quarterback right now, or they thought they had it and missed. Say the Broncos, for instance, there, where it's just not only do they not have it, but they gave up so much capital to get it. It's short of maybe the Herschel Walker trade is maybe one of the worst trades in football history so far.
Listen, my favorite storyline of the year this year has been Seattle. Yeah. Clearly they overachieved from everybody's September summertime sort of expectations. And now they find themselves in a playoff battle, but just the story out of Seattle this year, how they've been able to be so ultra competitive under Pete Carroll and the juxtaposition that has happened in Denver. And there couldn't be a situation worse. You know, in Arizona, you go 3-and-out, 4-and-out, three, four straight times when you could put the Chargers away. You give up 7 yards on the ground and you can't get a first down. That's embarrassing, and they got a problem. But their problem only exists in money. Unlike Denver, who's handing at the moment over, Jeff, the third overall pick, or maybe it's the fourth overall pick right now, going into Seattle's hands. I snicker at that one quite regularly. I will enjoy that as long as they they let me. I don't feel bad for Denver one bit.
And on top of that, Geno Smith's been a good story. You know, I like redemption stories like anyone else. The fact that he escaped some really toxic situations with the Jets and the Giants, among others, and has had this redemption arc, that's been fun too.
Yeah, every part of this Seattle, like there are so many layers to being able to enjoy what's gone on in Seattle this year. And I mean, in hindsight, he played better than Russell Wilson did, you know, pretty much last year when he got to relieve him when Russell was out with that hand injury. At least it seemed like he was able to get the ball to the good receivers in Seattle last year, which at the time we may have been giving Russell a free pass on, not anymore.
Yeah, Bill Barnwell did a deep dive on Russell on ESPN this week and talked about all the different ways it's gone bad. And it's remarkable to see just the utter collapse, like things that he was good at. You know, red zone used to be like his thing, you know, Super Bowl not included. You know, that's been a disaster. He's like the nut low right now on that.
I did not expect Russell Wilson to sort of end this amazing trajectory of veteran quarterback movement. You know, we like obviously Brady and Stafford go in and win Super Bowls and that's amazing. But, you know, even to pick from my own little thing and like Rivers goes to Philly and they win 11, Philly goes to Indy and they win 11 games. Like it just seemed like Russell Wilson wasn't going to be the quarterback who ended this great play in this, you know, veteran quarterback movement that, you know, to football fans like us, that didn't happen when we were younger. You know, it's sort of this newer thing. And it does seem like Russell's popped a balloon on that one.
Is he fixable? Is this or is this it?
It's different because there's levels of mobility that, you know, as you get older, that your Brady's and even your Stafford's to an extent. But, you know, we didn't really ask or require of them. He required, you know, a level of instinctive magic, and that does appear like that's not gonna come back.
He scrambles far less than he used to, let alone design runs, and we're seeing the NFL, so many teams, like they need to have that mobile quarterback. It's really a big deal. So you know, if that's not part of his game, yeah, I wonder. I know there's going to be a coaching change. There has to be. They have to fix that part of it there, and we'll see if that maybe can fix him, get an offensive minded coach. I don't know who that coach is going to be though.
I really like George Patton, the general manager there. Mm-hmm. I would be happy as a fan of a rival team if they decided to let him go as well. It does. I mean, you can't replace Russell, the cap, the contract. There's so many elements to that. They have to revive the coaching situation, and I'm sure that they will try. It will not be everyone wants an NFL head coaching job, but who wouldn't rather start their job with a clean slate and a draft pick than sort of be pressed upon what's going to be pressed upon head coaching candidates in Denver this winter?
Yeah, it's really a remarkably tough situation there. Another tough situation in division, the Raiders. They have to make a decision on Carr this offseason. You know, they, after this kind of, they're recovering the last couple of weeks, but it's been a disaster in their own right. And Carr is, had some really horrible, horrible games as part of that there. They have to decide if he's the guy they're going to build around. If they got to start over too.
Yeah. And this little, you know, 2 week mini win streak of back-to-back overtime games, Jeff, it sort of warms my heart knowing that a Melvin Gordon goal line fumble started this little resurgence for the Raiders at the moment, who should make for a very entertaining game this weekend versus my Chargers. The Raiders, you know, they won every close game last year. They did. And even if they were a better football team, like a lot of us thought they would be, maybe they weren't going to win more games because every break went their way last year. It does seem like they are starting to find some comfort zone. I don't know, how the Chargers are going to get to the quarterback. I don't know how they're going to account for Asante Samuel, Davante Adams in that matchup this weekend. Raiders got a really hard schedule, and it's probably too little too late, but they've probably, you know, they've poured some cold water on the hot seats, at least for the moment.
Yeah, that one, I think last I saw Chargers were up to a 2-point favorite in that one there. I have a hard time. I have trust issues with the Chargers being a road favorite, even though I think they played pretty well on the road this year. I don't know what to make out of this game. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I mean, I like that the Raiders have played back-to-back overtime games. I think that's a situation that I blindly would probably like to fade as a better, despite my bias. I have a lot of concerns, though, with the Chargers, Jeff. Outside of Justin Herbert, everything is pretty much a concern for me. Now, I don't know if Corey Linsley's going to be out of concussion protocol. That would be a disaster. They're already down their left tackle, their right tackle. Linsley didn't come out of halftime, and you notice the Chargers struggled up the gut with the Arizona rush as they took full advantage of that. He is, when he left, every game he hasn't played in has almost made a bigger impact than them missing Rashawn Slater on the outside. Right. So that from an injury perspective, and there's always something from an injury perspective, what Charger fans are hyper-focused on, that would be it. I don't know how teams, like, I don't know why the Chargers, I'm amazed the Chargers have 6 wins. And to me, it has to all be Justin Herbert because they get attacked and attacked on the ground. And I saw they are the worst rushing defense in the modern era this year. As Charger fans, we begged for some level of league median rushing defense. We didn't even like get to improve to like 25th ranked rushing defense. It makes it so hard. It really does. I'm still, not to turn this on Arizona, but I feel like as a football fan, we learned so much more about Arizona, Kingsbury, Murray, than we did about Herbert and Staley last week.
I mean, the Chargers didn't
do much. Arizona literally kept going 3 and out. And if you're going to give Justin Herbert 4 chances in the like third, fourth, like he's finally going to score a touchdown. I don't know how Arizona couldn't get a first down against the Chargers in the fourth quarter. That's unfathomable to me when their run defense can just get gashed so effortlessly. And that is why I'm sort of at my wit's end with Brandon Staley. Seems like a wonderful guy, fantasy, you know, other than those punts versus the Chiefs, I would like him to get back to more of a craziness. He hasn't been crazy enough for me this year, but this is a defensive-minded head coach. He was a defensive coordinator in the NFL. And when your run defense can't get out of 32, like that's just it for me. That means it's like a pizza place that can't even make a cheese pizza. Like, I don't care about their fancy, exotic, new age. I'm not going to try those if they can't even make me a basic cheese.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to experiment on your menu if you don't even do the pepperoni well enough. So that's sort of like where I'm at with Staley. He likes to go for it on fourth down. I don't know what other positive quality there is. That's, I guess, a lot of ways to say there are still concerns for all that's gone weird in Raider land this year. It's been so disappointing for the Chargers. I so wish they could, you know, be having this November, December catapult like it feels like your Bengals are currently having.
Yeah.
You know, all your concerns of a month, 5 weeks ago, like out of the, so gone now. Like you probably laugh at some of your thoughts that you had a month ago about the Bengals as they're so ready to take on crunch time. I don't have any confidence that the Chargers are there.
Yeah.
I'm unfortunate. Bosa, it's been 10 weeks. They told me 6 to 10 weeks, Jeff.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything. That's the funny thing about Bosa. It's like, you know, usually you hear some rumblings, you hear a little bit of extra talk about it. You haven't heard anything about Bosa.
It's going slowly, but like we know from Bosa's, this isn't a knock. They don't come back at 80%. Like they are, he will be 110%. Mm-hmm. Like that's just how and you can't not, when they're out there, they're incredible. That's been a slow one. I kind of earmarked maybe next week versus Miami, but there's not even reports he's coming off IR to practice. So,
yeah,
I'll put that one back in the oven. I say all this, if they beat the Raiders, they're 7-5 and maybe still possibly frisky. But expectations are the devil, and they were high. I was excited, and it's just every game has been just a war of attrition for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely it has. And you know, that Miami game next week, that's been flexed to Sunday night. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Thank God we don't have to see the Broncos on Sunday night again. Nobody needs to see that. But it's going to be out there on full display. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we do get Bosa back. You know, and it's just funny. They spent all that money on defense. And, you know, J.C. Jackson was terrible and then got hurt. You know, losing Bosa has been miserable. What's your thoughts on how Khalil Mack's been playing?
He's been great.
Yeah.
He has been everything you could ask for. I would hope to trade a second round pick again next year to get another one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's been healthy, that's like in and of itself has been a godsend, because it kind of feels like him and Derwin James are the only layers of defense. And Max production, I mean, listen, it's like Kyle Van Noy rushing the quarterback on the other side. It's embarrassing. I think the Chargers get the fifth least pressure on QBs in the league. You know, Derek Carr should probably have no problem finding his receivers. You hope the same that Herbert will do, you know, match them score for score. But, yeah, Mac's been great. He's had some huge moments, some big turnovers and strip sacks. He's on a small handful of players I'm not upset with ever at the moment this year.
Week one against the Raiders, he was huge, massive in that game. All right, our title sponsor is our friends from No House Advantage. We're going to share a note from them right now. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick 'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning big cash prizes. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot at hundreds of thousands of dollars every week. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20 times your entry if you hit all of your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or the individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up now with promo code NHAWIRE. That's NHAWIRE at nohouseadvantage.com, or download the app or on the app stores to get a first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but also where you play. You won't want to miss out on this.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jeff Erickson here with Jeff Feinberg. You can find Jeff on the Mayo Media Network. Great stuff. Great week 13 podcast or video, I guess, on YouTube, podcast/video. It's awesome. Check it out. And you know, a lot of good stuff there. I just love the banter you guys have. You can tell you enjoy doing it. You can tell you enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, that's something that, Pat has really been good at cultivating and hosting. Yeah. But yeah, we just have a good time. We like making fun of each other and talking football. And, you know, we're just passionate about the things in football for which we are passionate about. And on that show, we all have our quirks.
And I like that encourages that it comes out. It's beautiful. I think it's so much fun to listen to every week. Let's talk a little bit about the Deshaun Watson coming back this week against the Texans. Jeff, I have no idea what to expect out of Watson this week. What do you think?
I am maybe more bullish than most. I don't think for a guy who, you know, putting everything aside, just the premier athlete, premier quarterback, a couple drives before he gets his feet wet, he'll be hyper familiar with the sort of surroundings in many respects. You can lean on the run game. Just the fact that so many things can come off the play action for him.
Yep.
Forgetting the matchup that, you know, I know that there's a lot made of it because it's his former team, but it's a pretty soft landing spot to sort of make your return, not be asked to do too much, get your feet wet. I am expecting Deshaun Watson at some point in that football game.
Yeah, and the thing is, Houston is almost as bad as the Chargers at stopping the run. And the Browns, really good at running the ball. It seems like a good combo there. I think Chubb's going to go crazy in this game, and then the play action off of that should really work pretty well.
Yeah, I'm quite confident. I would, I think that this could mean a lot. I know there's a lot of excitement, like in fantasy circles, about Njoku. I mean, just for Watson alone, he's probably the most talented, most athletic tight end he's ever played with. I know for years, I don't even like we're all starting guys like Owen Daniels and some jabroni tight ends out in Houston just to, you know, sort of get some of that drip from the talent that was on those offenses over those years. So nice, easy throws off run sets to Njoku and possession guys like Amari. I think maybe a drive, maybe two. I just such a premier athlete like that. I don't think it's going to take long at all for him to feel comfortable. Not weeks, like quarter singular would be my expectation.
I can see it. And you'll probably get lots of chances because the Houston offense is just awful right now. Just as bad as it gets.
And if he is playing well, like if you're the Browns, you have to expect like the mandate is to do everything you can for him to just look amazing, to try every touchdown. I know this is a very football and a very naive way of looking at things, but you know, within all the noise, like just make him look amazing. So this offseason, the noise can be that much less surrounding him, you know, so every effort of that organization is going to be behind not only him looking good, Jeff, but from his fantasy perspective, as long as he's not caught in like a blizzard or a windstorm like we've seen in Cleveland, like fantasy points galore. I maybe I'm overshooting it, but that's, in my opinion, the organizational objective in December.
I think so, especially because, I mean, it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs sitting at 4-7, so they can focus on that. I've got him at 10 this week among my quarterbacks. I have Watson there. I might move him actually ahead of Cousins and Tua because I don't like Tua's matchup, especially if Terron Armstead doesn't play.
Yeah, so, reading each other's mail, I have him at 10 as well. I have him a little bit behind Tua. Maybe as we get closer to that Dolphin game and you sort of everything Tua has done has been amazing. But there is the caveat the last 4 weeks he hasn't played a defense that's like better than 26th or something in football. Now a true cream of the crop pass rush. We will maybe see if water finds its level a bit. I still have Tua though. Ahead of Deshaun. I have Tua maybe too high at number 7 this week.
Yeah. It's a tough call. It's a tough call. I'm not really sure what to make of that big matchup. Might rain actually in San Francisco too. Something to watch for there a little bit. I like those. There are only Kyler is really the only guy that this week that's on a bye that we have to worry about that you would have otherwise started. If you're trying to pick somebody up for him, are you picking up Mike White? Are you starting him against Minnesota?
I'm not inclined too much to make that move. The Bears allowed a lot, and Mike White made the throws. He made the easy throws. He made the right throws. Obviously the Vikings made Mac Jones look great. I'd maybe try to get a little sneakier. I'm a little bullish on Pickett potentially versus Atlanta, finally activating those receivers. Atlanta puts the least amount of pressure on any quarterback in the league. I'm quite bullish on Pittsburgh as a whole for this week and in some fantasy, and even they're probably my favorite bet of the Sunday slate. That's not to hate on Mike White, but I might be pivoting to some other bad fantasy options.
Does the fact that you do a show with Tim Andercust, does that influence your opinion on Mike White at all?
No, it's actually, I like the Jets. I'm a fan of the Jets. I've always had a soft spot for the Jets. I have family that lives in New York and loves the Jets. So, sometimes I wish I want to hate the Jets more, but yeah, no, I don't. I mean, Tim Anderson has an insane person's view on Mike White. And I know a lot of like realist Jets fans are a little worried that Mike White presents some fool's gold. But if you're a Jets fan at this point, like you go throw everything out the window and do everything you can to just want to see them play a playoff game. It doesn't even matter who is at quarterback. They've been through so much bad.
Sure.
That at this point, make the most of this season's opportunity and worry about getting middling quarterback play this offseason, I guess.
Yeah. As a fellow fan of a traditionally downtrodden team, I do like seeing the Jets do well. I always kind of have that sort of empathy there. And they've got so much talent around it there. Garrett Wilson looks the part. The defense looks amazing. Sauce Gardner is obviously awesome. They're putting it together.
A lot, yeah. Some really great drafts. It's scary to think how good they could have been if they actually hit on that QB pick.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They've done this multiple times. I don't think Mike White's a long-term solution. I think he's a Mr. Right now. I don't know what they're going to do this offseason. I think that's going to be a very big challenge for them because they're not going to have that elite draft pick spot. They're not going to have – I don't think there's too much out there on the waiver wire to pick up either.
Yeah, we will see how it all sort of shakes out. I mean, from your Jimmys to Carr – to who knows how the Aaron Rodgers situate, like there could be a level of musical chairs. I would say that if I am any of those guys, the Jets situation feels as attractive as any in some regards. It does feel like a really talented roster that with some plug and play quarterback situations make you look good.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, what their decision is, and because that's going to spill over to a lot of different other teams too. And that division is just so hyper competitive right now too, because the Bills are going to be ensconced for a really long time. The Dolphins look like they're going to be a competitive team for a long time. Are you buying into Tua? Are you buying into him being a top 10 quarterback the rest of the way and maybe next year too?
I mean, listen, like a lot of people, I was hard on Tua. Like our eyeballs weren't lying to us. It didn't look good. It didn't look right. And so much of it in a nutshell can show you, how much can change if you support your quarterback, get your quarterback a coach that will play to his strengths, get weapons to his strengths. Obviously, as a bias in the thing with getting Herbert, them leaving Herbert, me being able to sort of like snicker at that over the first couple of years. But to like not to to not sort of like renege your 2-year-old Tua takes, you'd have to be a moron now. Like, you'd have to just, that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be fair. Under pressure, that's what I like him the most, Jeff. It's that he's making these like 10 to 15 yard throws while under pressure, as good as anyone in the league. That's a telltale sign for me. And, you know, people like to sort of throw stones at me, and Dolphin fans are, you know, they're having the laugh at the moment as if the final tally is going to be wins at the age of 24. I mean, who knows? Maybe once right. they feel they're better than Herbert substantially in their minds, they'll be coming after you and Joe Burrow, these two Anons. That being said, don't hate us. Like, your owner tried to get three other quarterbacks.
Right?
Like, right? Don't, you know, I'm a biased Chargers fan. Go pick on the other 150 paid NFL pundits who said he wasn't good, or his owner who tried to replace him three times. That's, yeah. You know, I'm pro Tua now. I love what I'm seeing. I'm jealous of Mike McDaniel. You know, because it just seems way better than Staley in so many regards. Well, on that like train of, you know, that just tree of like new age fun fourth down coaches, this guy seems way more real than the one the Chargers got from the dollar store. So I'm in on Tua. I am in on Tua. It's hard not to be, especially with those
sure
weapons.
They're so fun to watch.
Yeah, and there's a lot. Like, their next three games, they are in San Francisco, then they're going to stay out west to play the Chargers on Sunday night, and then they play Buffalo in Buffalo. So, you know, the Chargers sort of like the cream filling of this, let's see what the Dolphins are, Oreo, over the next 3 weeks. But I think a lot of football fans are intrigued to see, A, what Tua would do in December, and what they'll do against better defenses. But I'm in. I'm buying in. He's fine. Dolphin fans are fine. Like, yeah, good for them.
Unifying theme between us, Dolphin fans and Chargers fans and Bengals fans, is they're all crappy owners. I mean,
we all suck. If one of us, like, listen, the Chargers played this game. I watched Roethlisberger and Eli both win two Super Bowls. Rivers couldn't beat Manning and Brady in back-to-back weeks to get to one. Like, we just weren't, we couldn't do it. Wouldn't be surprised if it's Burrow and Tua getting the Super Bowls and I'm left, you know, empty pockets again. But in the end, like, it's all that matters. And we're all just have had not much fun. And it's good to see, like you said, I'm happy to see the Lions, even the bit like any loser franchise that we've been kicked down in this NFL ecosystem. I always love seeing, you know, get their comeuppance once in a while. So
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, for sure. Big three game stretch. As you're saying, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. We got to share another note, from our good friends at, Picket. They are a new sponsor for us. Picket is a social bet tracking app that takes out all the hassle of tracking your bets and performance over time. Picket connects to every major U.S. sportsbook, whether it's DraftKings, FanDuel, or others, and DFS pick'em provider, like PrizePicks or Underdog or Thrive and more. Once you hook up all your sportsbook, Picket does all the heavy lifting to slice and dice your betting data. You'll get detailed historical P&L, graphs, breakdowns by team, sports, bet player, bet type, and more. You can also line shop for the best odds across linked sportsbooks to make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck. When your bets are live, you can track the scores and stats of the games that you bet on, as well as player prop updates for most major player prop markets. No more switching between your sportsbook app and different score apps. By far, the biggest differentiator is that Picket syncs history and bets from all legal major sportsbooks. There is no manual entry required to track your bets. Once you have your accounts linked, it's effortless from there. The social feed and community is what turns Picket from just a bet tracking app to a home for betting, where you can learn from others. See what others are doing and find verified content to inform your betting decisions. Visit Picket.com. That's PIKKIT.com to download the Picket app today. I'm in California. Wish I had that ability to bet on said sports books, but, you know, maybe in another lifetime.
Good luck.
I know, right? It's just a mess out here. Can you believe how badly the props lost out here in this last election? I can't believe people aren't that against sports betting. It must be just that the props themselves were just terrible.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know how they're worded or what the confusion is, but I was quite surprised to see it lopsided. Never surprised to see it go down, but like it almost went down in a super majority, which kind of caught me off guard.
Oh, it did. It's like 84% against on the DraftKings one. Part of the problem was there's two of them and they're competing against each other, like actively competing against each other, like trying to make sure the other failed. One's run by the Indian casinos. The other is run by DraftKings and FanDuel and all that. And they tried to be also they tried to do things that beyond just sports betting, like the DraftKings one was like, OK, we're going to cure homelessness with this. OK, come on. And then the Indian casino one wanted to be able to like chase all the card rooms out of business because that's competitive to them. So there was a lot of other stuff at stake there as well. And I think they're just people just said, screw it. I don't want any of this. So anyways, I will just watch over the people bet on their phones and I can do like Prize Picks. I can do that, but that's about it.
They made it legal where I live now and it's more annoying than ever. Like Yeah, like I can't play DraftKings.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Prize Picks. None of those games are available in Ontario at the moment.
Oh, you're in Ontario. That's right. Yeah. And you can't even do NFBC and FFC either, which is just crazy.
Yeah, I got buddies that literally drive to Niagara to set lineups.
It's just awful. Awful.
So stupid.
We can't have these adult conversations, and it's just – there's always these competing interests. Anyways, rant. But let's move on. Talk running backs here for a sec. We got a lot of uncertain running back situations this week. A lot of injuries. Guys were not sure if they're going to play. Starting with your game, Josh Jacobs against the Chargers. Jacobs had the calf strain. He aggravated it late. Aggravated it so much that he ran for 86 yards for a game-winning touchdown in overtime against the Seahawks. But he's probably not going to practice all this week. What do you make out of this?
Yeah, I don't see Josh Jacobs not playing in this game. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, you know, the workload could be down. It doesn't matter who the running back is. Like, bring in the backup. He will get over 5.5 yards a carry versus the Chargers. I don't see Jacobs missing the game, but I could see him potentially not having that, like, bell cow role in this one, and the Chargers will put no pressure on Carr. Seattle can actually put some pressure on quarterbacks. The Chargers are putting none on him. They will find an advantageous game script passing the football as well.
Yeah, I agree. And Eckler's going to catch like 10 passes this game too, because that's what teams do against the Raiders, and that's what the Chargers have been doing too lately, just throwing some more to him. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Eckler gets fed all day, and Justin Herbert's A-dot with 47 attempts stays at 4 freaking yards. Like, it's ridiculous. I get there are injuries on the O-line and the receiving core, but just find a matchup and let Herbert chuck it, and there's still a 30% chance there's a pass interference because the ball he throws is going to be, you know, pretty accurate. I don't know. Joe Lombardi's a disaster, but for the fantasy world, it's gold for Austin Eckler.
Like,
for
sure.
It's just fountains of it. Not to say Eckler wouldn't produce. The Chargers did throw the ball deeper downfield, but everything they do sets up for Eckler to be fed. And defenses have no issue, Jeff, letting the Chargers, you know, just sort of dink their way down, because it's only a matter of time before we'll take a penalty, we'll shoot ourselves in the foot, we'll stall in the red zone. Teams would much rather just let the Chargers beat them that way than give Herbert those, you know, 20-yard seamers. So,
yeah. Do you think that's all on Lombardi? I think some of it's personnel. I mean, they don't have a deep guy, do they?
Okay. A lot of it is personnel and someone that's obsessed with the team and, you know, I hear Staley get grilled on it, or he did at least this week, finally, because the A-dot numbers on her, it's just so embarrassing for a player of that skill set and talent to not be trying. And, you know, Keenan and Mike Williams have been on the field apparently this year together, 40 snaps. They've lost both tackles. Their center keeps going in and out. Staley makes it as if, you know, every week they pick a strategy that will help them win the game the most based on who they're playing and the personnel they have. But I don't know what to make of it, because to never try to really unleash him, that just seems like the most counterproductive operation in the world. So I'm as frustrated as most, but again, it comes back to Eckler being solid. And you're right. It's like Keenan Allen's a great possession receiver. Mike Williams is going to go high point, but he's not going to beat you like in a speed burner. And Josh Palmer has in some ways potentially turned into, you know, he doesn't run deep, and a guy that there have been some rumblings between injury and contract that if they did move on from Keenan Allen could fit right into that place in the offense.
Sure.
You know, that's easy to say with words.
True.
You know, because Allen catches a lot of balls, but it's a long-winded way of me saying I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but when you see what Joe Lombardi's done everywhere else, it's easy to blame. He's easy to blame.
Sure, sure. And it's roster construction, too. I mean, an injury to Jalen Guyton shouldn't be disqualifying in terms of, like, being able to take the top off of defense. I mean, if you're that thin with that capability, then that's a failure in the offseason, because you can find somebody, anybody. I'm surprised they didn't make a trade at the trade deadline for a receiver. I thought that was a natural idea there.
Thought about it. I don't know. I was so down on the team that week. I didn't want them trading any assets. Like picks to just help a losing cause.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. You said you like the Steelers and the Steelers on that Steelers Falcons side of things. We don't know if it's going to be Najee Harris that's going to play. He's got the abdominal injury. They said he reportedly avoided a major injury. I don't know what that means, because first of all, it's Ian Rappaport. Secondly, it's very vague. I don't know if he's going to play this week, but I do like that matchup. I do think you can move the ball against Atlanta, both on the ground and definitely in the air.
Yeah, I'm very bullish on Pittsburgh. And I don't care if Najee plays or doesn't play. Pittsburgh, you know, a lot of their stats, like, there are a lot of things. It doesn't account for – you have to sort of take away those Trubisky weeks and sort of look at how well they have played since Watt has been back on defense. Other than, you know, they clawed for about 2.5 quarters versus the Bengals a couple weeks ago, and they just didn't have the horses to keep up, as we sort of seen since he is now sort of trajecting to where I think many of us believed. But Pittsburgh's last month has been really, really good.
Yes.
And I think the market is not fully caught on in some respects. Pickett just getting more comfortable. Now we're going indoors, as I mentioned, a team that puts no pressure on quarterbacks. If you want to evaluate a young quarterback, let him play Atlanta and then, you know, make an evaluation, at least how he can see the game and go through progressions, because he'll have time to go to his fourth read on pretty much every snap the way they get at. They close a backfield.
Yeah, and especially no weather elements this week. Last week, at least, you could blame the rain. This week, you know, indoors, no pass rush should be ideal. I agree. I like the setup a lot there for Pickett. And he's looked better, especially, like you said, against Cincy for about 2.5 quarters. They were moving the ball. They were doing some zone reads with him that I thought were pretty effective. He seems to have a connection with Pickens. I like that setup a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe it's the game that Deontay finally gets off, gets going. I'm actually wouldn't be afraid to sort of buy low on him at this moment.
Yeah.
This week in DFS. Maybe yeah. I'll even bet an anytime Deontay. Like, if it's not going to happen here, just give up.
Well, if you can run forward after catching the ball this week, that would be a plus.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a couple of those against the Colts where he ran backwards. That was awesome, super awesome and fun, especially if you have him. I turned down, like, I kind of hold on to Deontay, and I lost some running backs in one league and some trade offers and totally regret that. But, yeah, maybe this week is the week. You're right. We got one more note to do, and then I want to delve more into, like, you. I want to talk a little bit more about your background and what you do and all that. But first, football is officially back on Monkey Knife Fight with all the NFL action that you're looking for. And if college football is more your speed, they've got plenty of that too. On Monkey Knife Fight, there's no sharks, no salary caps, and no math. It's just easy to play, easy to win, daily fantasy player props. Join now at monkeyknifefight.com and you'll get your first game free. Then use promo code RWNFL to get your first deposit matched instantly up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Join Monkey Knife Fight today. I'm here with Jeff Feinberg. You can catch him on at Odds Checker. You can also catch him at the Mayo Media Network. Jeff, you do a lot in the golf space. You do a lot in the sports betting space as well. How'd you get into it?
How did I get into it? I started many years ago, just out of school, applied for an internship. And, you know, luck is a part of so many things.
Yeah.
Like, that you just can't deny it. And I got accepted to an internship. And, well, my buddy who also applied and got accepted got put in, like, archives and tapes, which is essentially, like, they want, like, a Ravens-Browns highlight. You go from 4 years ago, you go fetch it for them. I got put into the Sirius Satellite Radio division where I was just an intern for Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart, and that just got me into the industry. I, you know, grunted there, just someone leaves a job as my internship is ending. I get offered a job. I got to produce sports betting content, covers radio show way back nice. In the day. Go from there to, you know, TSN, which is like Canada's ESPN in many respects, to make that sort of comparison. And again, long before gambling is legal, but we're making it part of content. We're getting told by the bosses that, like, there's nothing there. There's no future. No one cares. trust me, anyone who's been around, like, they were part of it. Had that pretty much told to them, or not even that no one cares, but just that it was just so frowned upon. Like, it was still in that sort of era. So long story short, I've just kind of always, and I still consider myself that, like, a behind the scenes guy and, you know, helping produce the content in the news pits. And, you know, as luck would have it, I meet Pat Mayo, who's been so good. I would almost like say at the, like, cutting edge of this, like, YouTube sports, do your own thing, like, movement.
That sports betting.
Yes.
Yeah, you name it. He's a visionary.
And, yeah. Awesome. And I meet Pat, and we notice that we both everyone loves football. Everyone thinks they're an expert at football. Like, I don't even mean that derogatory. I mean, we spend Sundays watching. Most of us go sit in front of seven screens with our buddies. We see it all. It's easy to take in. We all sort of feel like we know it that well, and there is so much football content out there. But Pat was wisely like, we love golf. We love betting on golf. There's not anyone that is sort of doing golf content like they would do basketball content or football content. Just like, you love the sport and you love to bet on it. You love to make good bets. You love to make most of them bad bets. and we kind of just started with there. And yeah, that golf betting content, it really feels like there wasn't much in that space. And we, like a lot of things, just better to be lucky than good. We got lucky, hit a couple winners. People enjoyed our entertainment. And since then, you know, Pat has built something real special that I, you know, just like to say I'm fortunate enough to be, for lack of a better term, like his dingleberry on. And that's been very exciting. And, you know, now sports betting is just so much a part of the ether, and the opportunities within that have, are still expanding, and it's been fun and exciting and different. And, you know, I come from a time where you wouldn't even say, like, I worked for hosts who wouldn't even say who their favorite team was, because I don't want the audience to know I'm a Steeler fan. Like, I don't want them to know that, like, think that my takes on the Ravens would be biased in any regard. Like, no, like, you just show your true colors, be who you are. That's yes. What people resonate to. That's what people relate to, you know. And we never try to sell ourselves as the smartest guys in the room or the sharpest bettors, but we like to bet. We like to bet for fun. Sometimes we take our bets a little too seriously, but we're pretty transparent as to who we are in this thing.
And I think that's an important part of that too, because in this space, there are those that are less than transparent. People who sell picks, you know, often are that way, and you can kind of swing at them a little bit. And you know, they, you know, if the thing is, you are transparent about it. And golf in particular is such a good sport. It lends itself so well to that, to DFS, to betting, sports betting. Even I've been in a season long auction golf league for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a great sport. Every week we got a tournament. It's always on television. You get to see, you know, if a player is in the mix, yeah, sometimes we complain about the coverage. They don't show certain golfers enough or whatever, but really, I mean, the options are amazing right now.
Yeah. And like with golf or golf betting, there's so many ways you can go about it, from DFS to daily matchups, to tournament matchups, to, you know, just guys over underscores, like on your prop picks, to, you know, I like to take the big swings at the outright winners. But so many people, like golf betting, it's really exploded because, you know, everyone has always known how and why they bet the other sports. And golf, people bet majors, I guess, historically, but you like set a lineup, or you do just dabble into golf betting, it can become, I guess, for lack of a better term, like addictive. Like so many people have like spoken to Pat and I and mentioned, like, you just do one time and you just catch a bug. Like it's like you get hooked. And that's great to hear. You've had a pool for 20 years. And I would say one of the reasons that brought like this little niche golf betting community together was that, you know, we all have friends, we'll play golf, and people like to watch golf. They like to watch the Masters. Everyone knows Tiger and a handful of other players, but there was truly nowhere I could go amongst my friends to have a conversation about like Alex Noren. Like there was no, I had no, and this aren't like my friends love sports, bet on sports. They play all the fantasy of all the major leagues, but you know, there's still like a void in like being able to talk golf, unless I wanted to talk about one of like eight players, you know. And now it's really exploded, and that's awesome and fun to see. And, you know, at the same time, it does sort of feel like golf, like from a professional standpoint, is kind of like got this feeling about it at the moment for a plethora of reasons. But
sure.
You know, I don't know. I love playing golf. I love watching golf. I love watching the best players in the world hit great shots, hit bad shots, and I enjoy betting on it.
I love it. It's awesome. And I mean, I'm just a sports nerd. I love every sport. I mean, I find almost everything. I'm so into the World Cup. I'm so into, you know, I have a hoops league. I've got a hockey league. You know, I love it all. It's awesome. And I love that we have outlets for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, for all the, you know, and it's very like topical, you know, right now, like Twitter gets such a rap for being the cesspool, which we all like have seen it. We've all been part of it. It doesn't take, you don't have to veer off like the niche you enjoy on Twitter to see that cesspool. But 99.9% of the interactions I have on there with like-minded, not that we agree on everything about sports, but like we like sports, we like golf, like are so positive. Positive that like I see whatever, you know, the news says about Twitter, but that's truly not my personal experience. I don't know whether that's, you know, because you can curate your way around it better, but being able to enjoy like-minded, you know, people.
Yes.
Like I said, I didn't have, like, I've got buddies who love sports, because I could call them anytime talking about any tight end in the league. I couldn't call them to talk about like the upcoming young guns on the PGA Tour.
Right.
Like, there's just nowhere to have those conversations. So I enjoy the discourse. I enjoy it all. And, you know, not to veer off in one of those paths, but like, even I don't really care much to watch LIV Golf at the moment, but the discourse and the talking about it around it, I am enthralled with.
It's fascinating. Yeah. Do you think we're going to have another wave of huge defections this year in LIV?
it's hard to believe that they spent that money to then like not continue to spend it. Like to,
right.
Okay, we spent that. We're good. We like this roster. No, I think there's going to be, I hope it doesn't include another Dustin Johnson and Cam Smith.
Right.
I really, really hope, because that would be killer. But I have very little doubt that there's another 6 to 10 defections potentially of players that were really, I don't want to say missed because they're not, you know, we'll still see them. But, you know, yeah.
It's what coming. Player going over would break your heart the most?
Well, like the player going over with the realistic chance of going over, because, you know, I'm like, it seems like some of the preeminent ones have really said no way.
Right.
So like other than like a Rahm, Scheffler, Rory, Spieth, JT, I think for me, it'd be like a Hovland. That would suck.
Yeah.
That would really suck. This like team combo of a Cantley Xander would be such a kick in the balls too, if they left as a as a package.
For me, yeah. It'd be Finau. I think he's such a. I feel like, and I don't even know him personally, but I feel like he's such a good and decent guy and a great player, a fascinating player, and him like going NWO on the PGA Tour would just be like, oh. Oh, I can't believe you did. Him or Colin Morikawa, either one of those two would just kill me.
Yeah, yeah. I hope they don't. We'll see. Again, my views are like, it's all from the window of a spoiled North American sports fan.
True.
And that's what we are. Like, we didn't grow up, the leagues we love, Messi and Ronaldo would have played in the same one forever.
Yes, so, yes.
Like, I get there's a world view of sports, but my spoiled North American view of sports really doesn't like live.
Yeah, I hear you. I completely hear you. And like a Harold Varner, he's transparent. I'm taking the money, you know, good for him, you know, and grew up not having it. It's life-changing money. I get it. Pat Perez. I totally get, you know, good for him. Others. I would have more problems with, but then again, it's their money, their life. I get that too. You ready to do some rapid fire questions here?
Yeah, let's dance.
All right. Let's see. Healing Meditation says, who wins? Henry Olave for Cook and St. Brown.
Henry and Olave. I'll take Henry and Olave.
All right. I like it. Jay Red says, do I trust DPJ and Fournette? I don't know if Fournette's going to play this week. Peoples Jones gets his first game with Deshaun Watson. What say you?
Fence sitting. I don't really trust Donovan Peoples Jones.
Yeah, two catches last week. It's tough to do so. All right, Za says, who would you rather have for the rest of the season, Barkley or Kenneth Walker?
Jeez, I'm going to say Barkley. Close, but Barkley, these rookies, man, they've played 12 games before in college. Sometimes they hit these December walls. The season gets real long. Not to say Barkley and his injury concerns, but Barkley's my pick.
I agree. All right. Nemo Lady says, fire up Juwan Johnson for in a flex or Darius Slayton or Richie James. I guess you have to, you know, who do you like there?
I mean, Johnson or Slayton. Johnson's been sneaky. I'm going to go. I hope they bring in Jameis, and I'll say Johnson.
All right. There you go. CPAT for Dobbins. Do you drop Cordell Patterson for Dobbins?
No.
All right.
Or would you? I
wouldn't either. Take the guy that's productive now. I have been picking up Dobbins for free, at least, but like I'm dropping like Allen Robinson finally, you know, excised him, so. Yeah, I not for a healthy, productive player, I wouldn't do that. Dak or Watson this week?
Ooh, Dak. But I've made a strong case for Watson. But Dak versus the Colts in primetime. Yeah.
All right. Knox, Kmet, or Everett?
Knox, Kmet, or Everett? I'm going to go with Gerald Everett this week. Little seam buster from Herbert, little confidence after that two-pointer last week. Kmet for sure, now with the QB situation Knox, it's always Knox over Everett just because of the points, the total in that game, game flow. Yeah.
Indeed. Last one, JS, do we think Chase is coming back this week?
Yeah.
I do. I think he will be on a snap count, but I think they'll be passing plays. It's worth starting him. I think you have him, you start him this week.
Yeah, you have him, you start him. And Burrow has no fear to potentially turn the ball over by letting him go get one.
Right. And the Chiefs are vulnerable against the pass. Yeah. I think this is going to be a ticket to the carnival sort of game. I hope so, at least. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I sort of like now that explosions for all of them now that Chase is back, in my opinion. Like, it all offsets from Chase there. Now Boyd gets to go back into his little fun role, and all those toys for Burrow.
Just in time. We remember that the first Bengals-Chiefs game, Chase just went nuts in that one there. Actually, we got one last question. KJ Frederick says, I've been playing Foster Moreau based off of matchups week 15, first week of the playoffs. Should I stick with him or stream tight ends, waiver wire tight ends with the best matchup? Basically, is Moreau good enough to be an every week player?
As long as Waller's not there, I honestly think so. And the Chargers don't really have coverage linebackers. They'll probably have to put everything into stopping Adams and Hollins. I like Foster. I am probably going to start him this week myself. There's not going to be a better available like tight end based on expert ranks in a league than Foster right now, I think.
Indeed. All right. That's all the questions. Appreciate everybody chiming in. Jeff, appreciate you taking an hour of your time. I know you're super busy. Tell everybody where they can find your work.
You can find me weekly at Mayo Media Network. We're talking football until the new year, where all that fun golf stuff's going to start up again for me. I'd like sort of take a forced little golf off season in December. I know there are some events. There's the Hero and some things. I got to get away from it for a few weeks, so I can miss it and want it back. And then I'll get excited every week. Oddschecker.com will have my oddschecker.com/US will have my weekly golf outright picks from January on.
There you have it. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. And I do the same. I do the same in baseball a little bit. I just got to take some time off. You got a lot of irons in the fire, and you got to keep it fresh there. All right. So check them out. Mayo Media Network, Odds Checker. You can follow Jeff on Twitter, GFeinberg17. And please check out all their good work. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Good luck in week 13. Take care.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.